What's better than a mild-mannered dude and bro doing a podcast, you ask? How about a dad and a bro, or son rather? I want to tell you about a brand new podcast that has comfortably secured a spot in my super scarce and sacred subscription feed, and that is the Why Do We Say That show. We listen to podcasts for all sorts of reasons, to get our news, personal health, self-help, and most importantly, to be entertained. What I love about the Why Do We Say That podcast is that it's light, fun, interesting, and most importantly, super entertaining. Did you ever wonder where some of life's most common adages and axioms come from, like the rule of thumb, 23 skidoo, beat around the bush, burning the midnight oil, or clean as the whistle, as well as much, much more and many other phrases? Well, the Why Do We Say That is a podcast hosted by Scott Kelly and his son Liam. They have a blast while engaging in funny and entertaining banter as they enlighten us about some of the English language's most common axioms. I know we all have Google at the touch of our fingertips, but why not listen to Scott and Liam and have a blast doing so instead? I'm all in on the Why Do We Say That podcast. Give it a listen today on your favorite podcasting platform. That's the Why Do We Say That podcast. Thank you.
Tim, my brother, we are back talking podcasts. Always a pleasure to do with you, my friend. So, dude, you and I are big time Joe Rogan fans. I've written numerous pieces about Joe. You and I both been longtime listeners. I proclaimed him the GOAT of podcasting, all that good stuff. We've also have checked in with some content on him on our platform here in regards to kind of the Spotify move, some of the controversy surrounding that. We've talked about the episodes that mysteriously did not make their way on the migration from his various platforms when it became Spotify exclusive. And I kind of thought that had died down a little bit. We never really heard from Joe acknowledging that episodes weren't up there. And, you know, people just kind of moved on from it. But it sort of perked up a little bit recently. And apparently Joe even commented on it back in February. It was at the back end of an episode. I will play that comment in a moment. But where this kind of got back on my radar is Dave Asprey. Dave Asprey is the founder of the Bulletproof brand, the self-proclaimed inventor of Bulletproof coffee. He's a super wellness fanatic. He claims he's going to live to be 180 years, all that stuff. Dave Asprey has had his appearances deleted from Rogan, and I think were deleted more recently, not in the initial migration over from all the channels to Spotify. I think I have that right, which is even odder to me. So let's do this. Let's first listen to Rogan. So this was back on February. Let me get the exact details. So it was with comedian Fahim Anwar. It was episode number 1607. It's interesting because this was like the final hour of the discussion of about a 3-hour episode, which Joe typically does. And they started talking about Netflix and some potential concern about some censorship for Netflix. And Joe started talking about, well, I don't know if that's then the platform we all thought it was. And then it turned around to, well, what's up with you and Spotify? Which, great, we've all been waiting for that. So here's Joe's response, or his thoughts on what's going on with Spotify, and then you and I will unpack this a little bit.
Anytime anything gets big enough,
right,
you're gonna get shit like that. There's gonna be strings attached, you know.
Yeah, that's the criticism of me being on Spotify.
Yeah, how's that been? How's the movement?
They don't give a fuck, man.
They don't care what you do.
They haven't given me a hard time at all. There's a few episodes they didn't want on their platform that I was like, okay, I don't care. But other than that, like in terms of what I do in the future, like the big test was having Alex Jones on.
Let's see how this relationship really goes.
A lot of people are like, you know, they're telling Joe Rogan what he can do, what he can't do. I'm like, they're not. And let's show you. Alex Jones and Tim Dillon was like one of my favorite podcasts I've ever done.
I love Tim.
I love him to death.
Is he coming out here?
All right, so I think we got the general gist there. Joe proclaiming, look, I had Alex Jones back on. Clearly, they're not telling me what to do. And you know what? I'm actually okay with everything he said, and I take it at face value. The only thing that I find odd is I thought he could have came out with that way earlier to squelch all of this. But dude, maybe he really doesn't care what people say or think, and he's just staying in his lane and doing his own thing. And that's very well possible. But the Dave Asprey thing is so weird to me, because where's like the controversy there? The guy is a founder of wellness packaged goods, bulletproof coffee and protein powders. And I'll read you this. So Dave went on an Instagram tirade about this with Joe. And I'll just read quickly. I just realized that Joe Rogan used a Spotify deal to delete 40 highly controversial episodes and sneak delete the two episodes where I taught him about bulletproof coffee and the evils of kale. It's funny that he kept the third episode with me when he tried to use his platform to discredit my work so one of the companies he owns could copy my work. Always follow the money, my friend. So I think what he's alluding to is that Joe is a part owner of Onnit, which is the earth-based supplementation company. So I guess maybe Asprey's firing a shot across the bow that somehow there's a product that's in conflict that Rogan and Onnit sells with his brand. So Rogan's using this as a reason to get his content off his. I don't think Joe would ever care about dueling products or anything like that at all to have an episode deleted. Am I being naive in that, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, like, the proof is in the pudding somewhere, because apparently $100 million allows you to delete episodes you don't like and not talk about competing products you don't like, apparently. Like, I don't think, maybe, like, I'm sure that $100 million Spotify deal is not, it's not just basic, I'm going to pay you $100 million, you do a bunch of podcasts. I bet you it's very complicated. I bet you there are a lot of competing interests. I bet you there are some advertisers that have interest. I suspect there's a lot going on here, man.
Okay.
And that's me not knowing anything.
Yeah.
It's just my intuition. Because, I mean, just my knee-jerk reaction about the 42 episodes, like, I think Spotify, it's a political correct move. I think that's obvious.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the wind is blowing a certain way. The 42 episodes are the wind blowing the other way, and they don't want anything to do with it. I mean, I think that's just obvious, right? I mean,
yeah.
Whether Joe like cares or not, and we've talked about this, like, if Joe doesn't want that to be associated with those 42 people, I think we both agree, like, that's cool. You know, let us know. You know, maybe you regret doing it, or maybe you don't agree with the content and you don't want that to be part of your catalog, cool. I think we just want to know, right? I mean.
So quick, and by the way, I just realized typically when I do it, usually you have clips in our platform, but when I queue one up real quick, I usually do it through a speaker, and I realized it just held my phone up instead of the speaker. Were you able to hear that okay?
It was a little low. You may in the future hold it closer to the microphone, but
well, no,
you
know, in the future, in the past, I usually held up a speaker that amplifies it when I've done that before. Usually I'm not the one playing the clip, so it's not a concern.
The speaker sounded great. That's going to be a little rough, but we're going to clean it up in post-production there.
There you go, Tim, with the post-prod. So that's interesting though. You're thinking that there's potentially layers of complexity here. Joe had always caged this is, oh, listen, man, it's just a licensing deal. There's no involvement in my production, no editorial control and all that. Now we're finding that at least there was some editorial control, with Joe acknowledging, listen, there's some episodes Spotify didn't want up there. And dude, by the way, I've always said this and I'll say it again. I get that. If an entity's making a $100 million investment, I get it from their end. And if Joe, as a content producer, he himself has felt maybe some things haven't aged well, I have no concerns with any of that. I've always trumpeted, just be out front and over-communicate what's going on. And I don't really think anyone could push back. But the fact that it's taken this long for him to say this, the move to Spotify was at the end of last year. It's now February. He made his first comment that I think we know of. To me, lends credence to your theory that there's maybe some layers of complexity here and he just didn't want to deal with it at all, publicly facing.
Well, and then the other thing, I read an article doing some research about this is Dave Asprey. I think like when the whole coronavirus thing was coming out and like Twitter and Facebook, like when people were saying, oh, you know, hydroxychloroquine is a therapeutic and people were coming out, oh, no, hydroxychloroquine will kill you. So what they were doing, all of a sudden, like, the big power tech powers that be were like slapping warning labels on. YouTube was deleting videos of doctors talking about other types of therapeutics that they were trying. So I read somewhere that because Asprey like promotes some sort of like, you know, holistic other philosophies of like healthcare. I'm not as familiar as you. Does that sound about right? Like he has like his.
Yeah. And let me just say this about him. When I first started getting into the paleo keto world, I just do that personally for my own health benefits. I was interested in some of the content and perspectives he had. The more I sat with him, though, he's a bit of an odd duck. He is. And if you watch any of his interviews and content, it's just, I don't know, that there's something that I can't stay in tune with that dude. And, even how he handled it going to Face or Instagram with the claims he kind of made about Joe and follow the money and all that stuff, I thought even that was a little bit Bush League. I don't know what to make of that piece. But oh, go ahead, Tim.
So right. So I think the point being is I read somewhere that supposedly Spotify took like that angle, like this guy is spewing some like health advice that doesn't, you know, check out to the standards of all these tech powers. And that was the reason why they took his episodes off in that, like in that vein of giving like anti-vaxxing thing or, and that sort of thing. Like they put him in that category. That's why they took him off Spotify.
Yeah. So
I guess it raises the bigger question, like, you know, if you're a doctor and you have like kind of like a weird off the wall, you know, philosophy or theory of how to treat a certain thing. Like, should you have a voice? Should big tech censor you? You know, maybe even if what you're saying is not right or potentially dangerous, like.
But Joe himself, I would even put in almost like a mass skeptic category. He himself has been kind of veering into the realm of this is way overblown. And I don't want to speak for him and his claims, but you're with me on that, right? His stance against COVID or about COVID has evolved into more conservative leaning territory, I feel,
right,
in the past.
So, which is another thing I wanted to bring up with you, because I'm reading this article and like, so like I know it's a blog and it's probably some dude like us that doesn't know anything from anything.
And that is like, us, by the way. We know nothing about no one.
So like every article that I read, like when, you know, they bring up, oh, Spotify is woke or, you know, whatever the term you want to use. These are the slams they use against Rogan. So since signing a $100 million exclusivity deal with Spotify, Rogan has falsely claimed that, quote, left-wing people started the wildfires in Oregon, which he later apologized for, that he doesn't plan to take the COVID-19 vaccine because he doesn't feel he doesn't need it, and he's criticized the transgender community. All those three things are such like cheap, like simplistic, like just cheap hit jobs that anyone that reads that is going to think, and it happens all the time in the media, like none of those things are true. If you like really understand all of those issues, they're just much more nuanced than that, man.
You just said the word that I was waiting to say, and I totally agree that Joe is absolutely a more nuanced and thoughtful dude than just what those boiled down sound clip, clickbaity type statements reflect. And I agree with that. Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. You know, you and I have talked about this. I wonder in his heart of hearts how he feels about the deal right now. And maybe $100 million makes any heartburn go away in a matter of moments. And he might just be thrilled and feel like he is left alone and those 40 episodes mean nothing to him and he's rolling onward. I don't know though. I wonder in a quiet moment. Because dude, he had to have been making major bank. $100 million, fine, but like he had to have been clocking between the YouTube downloads, at like all that stuff in aggregate, as a completely 100% independent entity. And I just wonder, you know, what his thoughts would be in a quiet moment.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably onto something, but I will say, like, you know, I've listened to Rogan since the Spotify, and, you know, he doesn't hold anything back. Like, no. You know, I think you still get his opinion, but I mean, I think if someone $100 million is enough money to compromise some, you know, your constitution, make some amendments to your personal constitution, and maybe make some amendments to your value system, and I don't begrudge him at all. And I think we're kind of seeing it going on a little bit, man. I think, like I said, the proof's in the pudding. I think he's kind of, the $100 million is having an impact.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. So, yeah, you know, listen, dude, this will probably be a story that we can continue to check in on every 3 to 4 months. You know, how do you think his shows, have you been compelled to tune in consistently as you've been in past, you know, 2 to 3 years, say, compared to the past 6 months? How have your viewership habits been?
No, and it's weird because I use like a podcasting app, and I guess because now he's exclusive with Spotify, like I guess you have to go to Spotify to listen to That's his it. Episode.
Yeah.
So I don't get it through like my normal stream, and I don't know. And then just I listened to the one, the Lone Survivor guy. What was his name? It was recent. The Navy SEAL. Where they made the new Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yeah. I know exactly you're talking about, but they must be
neighbors. I know he's a Texas guy, and Rogan's now in Texas, so it seems like they were pretty chummy. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, probably not as often as I used to, man.
Yeah. So, dude, I wrote an article about this. Shameless self plug. Check out Primal Stream Media. It's on there. Viewership habits have waned a bit with Rogan, and has nothing to do with the quality of show I think he's doing. It has everything to do with not being on YouTube anymore. My viewing consumption patterns with Rogan were always on YouTube. I loved watching his show on my big screen TV. I would sometimes, on the weekends, late at night, my wife would go to bed, I could knock out upwards of 2 hours of an episode and just absolutely loved it. And I don't have that platform anymore to do so. And I'm not going to sit for hours on end and watch it on my iPhone. I know the video is sharp on Spotify. I'll give them that. It's great video on there. You can even do it at 1.5 speed or whatever. So that's cool. But I'm not a Gen Y or one of those 13-year-olds who does everything on their phone. I'm a 46-year-old curmudgeon, and I love my big screen TV for watching videos on YouTube. And here's the other thing that's interesting. The algorithm and the updates of a YouTube subscription are so great at alerting you for things that I used to be proactively hit up when new content would come up. Now, look, Rogan does episodes all the time, so you can just expect there's going to be new stuff. But still, it would prompt me and get me to go to check out. Sometimes Joe has an episode or two that go by and I'm not even mindful of it because it's just happening within the Spotify ecosystem and I'm not getting any kind of alert or notification of that. And dude, it kind of bums me out a little bit. I feel like I've lost a regular part of my podcast routine, which I consider Rogan sort of my educational entertainment, my inspirational entertainment. I get a lot out of his show and it just hasn't been the same. And again, not due to him or the quality of the show. I think there's some constructive things that we can think about that or talk about that. Him being in Texas, has that kept him away from a regular cast of characters that would always be traveling through LA, creating a more diverse rotation of guests? Maybe, but I think people would pay out of their own pocket to fly and be a guest on Rogan's show. It's the biggest platform arguably out there. So I think any guest would pay their own hard money to go sit in Rogan's studio in Texas for 3 hours. I don't know that that's necessarily a thing. For me, the COVID talk got a little too much and played out. There's heavy COVID, and I get it. And I don't begrudge Rogan or his guests from wanting to talk about COVID. It's the biggest thing humanity has dealt with in 100 years, but I'm just a little fatigued on that. Interestingly enough, and maybe this is a tease of a show we can cover, Lex Fridman, you familiar with him?
It rings a bell. Remind me.
Yeah, so he is a research scientist on artificial intelligence at MIT, a Russian-born dude. He's been a guest, I think, at least three times on Rogan's show. I have been obsessed with his podcast lately. There's a lot of overlap between the themes and the guests between Rogan and Lex Fridman, but I kind of have that feeling of discovery and excitement about Lex's show like I did when I first discovered Rogan. So maybe we'll circle back and we'll do an episode entirely on Lex. But it's not, I don't know. It's just more varied. It's more critical thinking focus, and I'm really enjoying it. But back to the comment at hand, they got to get the video for Spotify on things like Roku streaming. Joe has mentioned that Spotify's working on that to get it on the Amazon Stick and Roku and all that. And once that's on there, you can get on the Spotify app on Roku and then watch a video. That's not available right now. And he's been exclusive for multiple months. So I just, it disappoints me, man.
It'll come, man. I think I'm confident it'll be there.
I feel like I missed my button, Rogan.
I know. You're going to get them back. But here's for me, the most thing that I appreciated about Rogan was like kind of like that the mainstream players, like corporate media, network television, big time media folks, like Rogan was like this like anti or like this counter culture to them. And like you weren't getting like just like a heavily biased and just nonsensical stuff from both sides. Like I liked Rogan because he went right down the middle and he cut through all the nonsense. And I kind of want more of that.
Yeah.
I wish he would kind of just put two middle fingers up to the mainstream folks. And I don't know, maybe this Spotify is kind of, maybe he's like not afraid to like go there like he once did. And I want him to be the counterculture dude. You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And Tim, he was never afraid to make science cool and have real heady discussions about scientific topics and concepts to where some other podcasters might think, oh my God, my audience is going to run away screaming. I'll lose viewers. He didn't care if it tickled his curiosity. He wanted to have that guy sit down and have a discussion. And I think it was almost respectful to his audience in the way Joe approached that he wanted to bring everyone into these neat thinkers that he had some awareness of and share these conversations outwardly. And I think his fans reacted wildly in favor of those real heady scientific discussions. And I know Joe still does that stuff. I'm not saying he's gotten away from that, but I would like to see a little more of a variety in the programming of his guests and topics. That's just my take. I feel like he's weaned a little bit away from that, but I'm not even voicing that as a critique, just kind of like an aspiration that he can get back to that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about the 42 episodes? I mean, do you have an opinion on that from Joe's standpoint, just from, let's say Spotify is calling the shots. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's mildly concerning. I'll state it like that. But maybe in fairness to you or everyone else out there, maybe I'm not so offended because the people that got cleavered off were of opinions that I would never necessarily align with. And maybe I should not look at it that way and just be concerned that any content was cleavered off. I don't know. I fall back to the stance that I understand Spotify's position in protecting an investment, and even prior to making an investment, wanting to do diligence and weed out certain things. I'm really not offended by that. I don't take that as really censorship. I just take that as them protecting their brand and going about doing business. And maybe that's weak, kneed, and lame of me to have that thought, but that's just really my honest opinion on it.
Well, let me give you an example because I think it's horrifically whack, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fair, man.
I mean, like just from like a historical, like what I thought of an example that maybe, what if Sidney Powell, the Trump attorney, was on Joe's show in October, like December, end of November, and was spewing all like non-Dominion voting machine garbage for 2 hours, wouldn't you want to like have access to that conversation? Yeah. Like just from like a document standpoint, like, I'd be fascinated. Like, even though, like, maybe, you know, whatever she said was horrible and, you know, it caused problems, I still want that on record, man. Or, like, what if you had, like, Joseph Stalin on a show, like, yeah, spewing propaganda, like Soviet propaganda? Wouldn't you want to be able to, like, listen to that?
It's a great, like, point, Tim. Yeah.
I think it's just horrible. I think it's just, it's insane to me. But
I can almost, and I know this is just like the whack way out, but I can hold both those things true. Like, I completely get what you're saying, but I also understand from a business standpoint, Spotify wanting the right to do that. And I get it from Joe's standpoint. If they're like, hey, here's 100 million, these 40 episodes got to be gone. Cool. Like, high five. Let's do this. I get everyone's taking this. And I guess that's just the complexity of life, Tim. There's a lot of layers to life, man.
That's it. And this wouldn't be a big deal if it wasn't layered and complex, dude. And we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't
layered and complex.
Because that's the type of show the dude and the bro is, layered and complex.
All right. So let's get our parting shots out there. Dave Asprey, it's fascinating to me because I hadn't thought of a reason beyond a potential conflict between Onnit, but then you brought up sort of the wacky medical theories, and maybe that's where Spotify was going. That feels like a real reach to me if that's what Spotify's motive was. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on that and we'll keep seeing if anything else pops up in the future. But Joe, please get Roku video going for the Spotify app. I'd be grateful for that. Tim, your parting shots.
That's it. I just got a smart TV, man. So I'd be down with that too.
All right, my man. Well, dude, always fun talking podcasts, talking Rogan, talking layers and complexity. Until the next one, my brother.
That's it, man. Later.
We are a dude and a bro podcast show. We are entrenched in podcasts. We want to do for the world of podcasting what Siskel and Ebert did for movies back in the day. So we love doing reviews of our favorite podcasts. We love suggesting new shows to all the fine folks out there in the world. And then Tim and I love debating topics from the latest and greatest episodes of our favorite podcast shows. Hey guys, you would do us a huge favor if you could head over to podchaser.com. Podchaser is your one-stop shop for all things related to podcasts and your favorite podcast shows. Search A Dude and a Bro Podcast Show and then leave us a review. If you could take a moment to drop a few lines about what it is you enjoy about A Dude and a Bro Podcast Show over on the Podchaser site, we'd be eternally grateful for your support. Thanks so much, guys.
Oh, thank you.